person of the agency, I think there's a line of, you're really kind of getting into lobbying, educating the senators, and I think that it's really important that, like, the commissioners and the consumers are the ones that are in there. You know, I, as far as me making appointments with all of them, they don't want to hear from the directors of, you know, they are, our time is in their committee hearing.
Right.
So I really have kind of purposely stayed away from that because they're pretty clear about not wanting to hear from the person whose job is at risk. Now, if somebody else can tell you about the other senators, or if in the next few days, if you want to make some phone calls, I think that would be really great.
Now, the senators on the Appropriations Committee, Roger Werbein is the chairman, and Don Peterson from North Platte is the vice chairman. And the members of the committee are Beitler, Ketteback, Engel, Cruz, Price, and Sinowicki.
Engel?
Mm-hmm.
Ketteback, is he from Kearney?
Oh, goodness.
Here, I've got the list.
I don't remember where he's from, but if Engel is your senator...
Thompson was there.
Yes, Thompson is on too.
Yeah, and Thompson. I'm sorry. Boy, I don't know what kind of a slip that was, but it probably wasn't a good one.
You like that?
Okay. Sinowicki's Omaha.
I'll be glad to, you know, write to Senator Engel or whatever if you can help me formulate our position. I'm not good at that.
Well, just the points that we've talked about today,
meeting, so.
You know, I think they need to hear. So, Dorothy, as far as feeling like you need to do, you know, have a big rationale or anything, I think they like to hear just...
Yeah, plain this, folks yeah. talking, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, Ketteback is from Riverdale.
Where's that at?
In the Kearney area.
I think it is by Columbus.
Columbus?
I don't know. Jan,
I think Riverdale is out in Kearney County, yeah. I believe.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, I think he was at the NFB had a state legislative breakfast, and he came down, and he seemed, you know, very supportive. So we should, and he even knew my brother's father-in-law, so I'll we kind of had a special.
Oh, good.
But that's what's, you know, if they're listening, I mean, that's all we can do. I mean,
right.
if they've thrown up their hands and said, then it's just going to be even tougher.
Right. Well, at the just after the governor put his numbers out, Nancy Thompson was quoted in the newspaper as saying, you know, that's the easy way out, and he's left it to us to do the real work of finding a way, you know, that it just is not a reasonable thing to cut every agency 10%.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I really get the impression that although, I mean, the senators are very aware that cuts need to be made, they really want to find a way to do it in a way that...
Soften the blow.
Yeah, that doesn't do harm, which would also be what we will attempt to do if, with whatever our budget is, we'll try to implement the plan in a way that makes the least impact, the least negative impact, and find ways to make it work.
So basically emphasize the matching funds from the federal government, or?
That's one piece. The other piece that's really important is that this it's a service agency. It's not just information and referral. And the services get people into jobs so that they can pay taxes, so that they can be off of public support. And it also helps older people to avoid moving to a nursing home and again, being on state support.
Yeah, it's kind of like the education thing. I mean, if we educate people to begin with, then they will be able to do something for themselves later on. If we don't, then we get to take care of them for a lifetime.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm.
And I think that they can understand that if we tell it to them clearly and personally. I think that they really do depend on personal input. You know, we have both the scary thing and the good thing of having a small one-house legislature, which means that if we reach them, we reach them, and if we don't, we don't. But since we have the opportunity to reach them, and they did listen the day that we were there with the Health and Human Services Committee, I think that they will listen if we do it in a way that helps them to understand that what we really are interested in is the same thing they're interested in, which is to have Nebraska be a good place for people to be and to live and to be able to grow and do well.
Pearl, do you have an, and just something you could just shoot real fast, an email portion that has the list of all the appropriations and their email addresses?
Yes.
Could you, I think you just shoot that.
I think I had done that, but I'll be happy to do that.
Yeah, again. I think I had the HHS, but I can't remember if I have the appropriations, and maybe I...
Oh, okay, it's possible I did just... that one on. Okay.
Well, actually, their email addresses are the first letter of their first name, their last name, at unicam.state.ne.us.
Right.
That's what their addresses are. So, and you know,
but then knowing how to spell their last name and such, if there was a list handy to shoot, just...
I'm sure that I did do that.
And maybe I'm just remembering an HHS... committee, and I could have it already, but I just I remember for sure the HHS because I sent them something.
Yeah, and it can be done again. I mean, just with that, because if it was with something else, then that may have been, you know,
right,
part of why
right.
it got missed. But we, you know, certainly can do that.
Excuse me.
Yes?
Can't tell whether you can see my hand or not.
No.
I would like to have a list of the people that I can write to and can get something going with this. As a blind person, I am definitely interested in keeping the services that you do or you have given to us in the past. I don't want them cut.
Okay.
I can't afford to have them cut.
Could you remind me who you are, please?
I am Shirley McMillan. Today is my birthday.
Yes, yes. Okay, well, certainly. We'll get you that information, and we appreciate that, because it really is, you know, you are the reason that this agency exists.
And I'm thrilled with it, and it's a thing to change.
Sure.
I needed my counselor, the two counselors that I have. I don't want them to leave Norfolk. I'm from Columbus.
Uh-huh.
I plan to live here in Lincoln after I graduate from the school, all right?
Uh-huh.
I still want people here that I can contact and that are as good of people as I have had.
Mm-hmm.
And I know other people in Columbus that need the two counselors we have, and I'm sure that's all over the state. You know, not just my counselors. I'm sure my counselors have been trained the same way that everybody has been trained. And we need those people. I'm a bit militant. They're going to take 10% off, take it off the senator's wages. You know, or their office staff.
Yeah, of course, don't...
Talk about
you know,
it paying.
You might not want to say that to them when you're talking about this issue.
I think they're trying to get their salaries raised.
Yes, they are.
Well, they are, but, you know, our people have to eat, too.
That's
well,
very true.
They want to increase taxes for everything because they still can't meet their budget. So by cutting the budgets, they're just making things more difficult and making it easier to file aid taxes.
Well,
they have already screwed up with.
Their job's not easy either because every agency is there.
And they do need to know
I wouldn't want to be one right now.
No, yeah, you know, to raise taxes and you get attacked from those people. And,
yeah.
And that's the kind of thing that I think it would be good for you to say to them. You are very articulate And they need to, they do need to hear from you. And
give me the list and I'll get to them somewhere.
Okay.
Hearings are on Thursday afternoon too, just in case you want to come.
Beg your pardon?
The hearings are on Thursday afternoon.
Well, I have to get released from my director, so I don't know. Whatever I can do, I will do.
This Thursday afternoon?
Yes, the 27th. The 2 days from this very day.
Well, so I got to get with the times to register.
And they really do.
Phone call, absolutely.
When you send letters and things, I mean, they really do just don't throw it in the circular file. I mean, it's as useful to them as public testimony, because they do look at it and they refer to it. So it's.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they do.
Another student has a hand up.
Okay, maybe I should say for procedural purposes that those of us on the commission board are blind. And so if you want to seek the floor, the best way to seek the floor would be for you to say your name, mm-hmm. because that does two things. It lets me know that you want the floor, and it also lets me know who you are, so I can recognize you without kind of going, excuse me, let's see you.
Okay, I will so, do that.
Thank you very much.
I don't know. I've been holding my hand up here. And
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, and I apologize for not making that procedural comment earlier. I ought to have done that.
My name is Ronnie Finley.
Yes.
And if it wasn't for my counselor, Robin Newman, and at that time, I lost my sight. And I'm telling you, that guy was a great, great help to me. And I mean, and he still is right now today. And I mean, we need them counselors. You need them. You know, like I said, Lord, I mean, the man saved my life. Let me just put it that way. Because like I said, if it wasn't for him coming out, talking to me, and I mean, understanding it, I mean, hey, you know, especially for them to talk about cutting the money, I mean, boy, we people that can't see. I mean, anytime somebody want to help themselves, there's no way you should feel like that you should want to not help them out with for them to provide a living and then provide. And, you know, I mean, we're going to be paying taxes also. So it's not like that there's right. No handout. And I mean, you can only do so much with SSI and disability. And I don't think nobody's going to stay on that forever.
Well, good for you. And please let your senator know.
Oh, I mean, that.
Shirley McMillan again.
Yes.
I do not get SSI because Social Security says that being blind is no excuse for not working, which I do want to work. I've worked since I was 13. I do not get SSI. I do get regular Social Security because I am 71, March 3rd.
But, wow.
I want to work. I mean, that's no problem. Just help me get trained. I used to teach microcomputer accounting. I can't do that anymore. I need help. And I can't do it by myself, so I do need that help. And I do need those names so that I can do something with them.
Okay.
You'll have them.
Yes.
Lynn Arden?
Yes.
I was going to say earlier, too, not only do we, I mean, as people are contacting senators to let them know about our agency, you know, it's important for them to be made aware that not only do we save the state money by putting people back to work and keeping people out of nursing homes, but something that's often forgot is that we also give people the independent training that saves the state money in terms of home health care, which is a service that the state provides to people who cannot take care of themselves, yet the services we provide can reverse that, so the person does not have to have home health care services, such as diabetics, you know, taking care of somebody's meds, and personal self-care at home, which is part of our service training.
That's a good point. Okay. Is there anything else on the budget?
No. Are the two match levels, is it like 78.9%?
78.7 is the amount of federal to 21.3% non-federal for the basic support grant. That's most of what we think of as vocational rehabilitation.
And the older is 90-10?
Right. The other thing with the older blind grant is that in that title of the law, we're allowed to use non or soft match. So the volunteer work and that kind of effort. That's part of why we were able to more easily fully match. And actually at this point, we have full match, even more match than we need in that non-cash match for the older blind and independent living funds. But in the basic support voc rehab, you cannot use that kind of soft match. There are two things that are not cash. One is the statewide cost allocation plan, and which occurs to me, I didn't mention, but that's another kind of wrinkle in the new budget. But that's an amount that we're allowed to kind of count because the state provides accounting services and attorney general and general administrative things.
What have we gotten that up to now?
It's 16,000 right now, but in this new budget, the governor has suggested that agencies should be paying for some of the services that DAS and other agencies provide. And so they've added to our expenditures costs for those things, personnel, accounting, I forget, and so they've added those costs to our budget, but when they added, then they also added in the amount that we would need to get the match to pay for it, but instead of adding in 21.3%, they added in 11% on part of it and 13% on another part. We met with the governor's budget analyst to discuss that. I don't know that we'll get any, we haven't seen any different numbers. Anytime we get a simple phrase, I have to try to explain it. But in anyway, that's a whole kind of crazy thing. But what it boils down to is this year our cost allocation is 16,000. But we've kind of computed that it would be down to 6,000, plus we'd be paying for that 10,000, if that really goes through as planned. And then the other non-cash that we can use for the basic support is the third-party agreements, and that's like what we have with the low vision clinic at the Med Center. And those are very restrictive. There are many, many regulations about what fits in doing that. We actually have looked at other possibilities. We haven't come up with anything else yet, but that would be something else we could look at. Now I forget exactly what your question was, but it was, did I get it what you were wanting?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks. So I really don't have anything else to say about the budget right now. But I think it was good to spend a lot of time on because it's
obviously going to drive much of what happens the rest of the year.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. That's right. Thank you.
Okay, the next item is the website update. Now, we got the statistics, and it looked to me like people are using it more than they, you know, each month.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the main thing that I got from reading the current.
Yes. Now, one caveat to that is that I learned that most of our staff computers now are set up so that anytime you go into your Outlook Express to check email or whatever, it's going to come up with the home page of the commission homepage. And so some of those numbers, at least the ones that are called the root directory, are just because of staff doing their automatic work on the internet. Okay, that 2028 in the root directory in the past month. So some of that is because of that function. But still, you know, it's I think it's good, and we keep figuring out new links that we should have and different things that we should put on there. So we keep working at it to do things that are that don't add any cost and that are not a burden to people, to any of the staff to do, but still trying to get things added there and up to date.
Was there anything new on the being there as a guest or however that was?
I don't think so. Kelly's not here yet. I don't believe we got anywhere with that.
Okay. Okay, Friends of the Commission update.
Do you have anything there?
I don't have anything, no.
A couple of things I can tell you. I know that the treasurer was looking at whether some tax forms needed to be filed, and he contacted us and we gave him the information he needed with, it's actually not a 501c3, it's some other similar number, but it's a less common one that, but anyway, so that was in the works, so I know he was looking at what needed to be done. And the other thing was that just before the end of the year, the calendar year, a couple wanted to donate some funds to the commission, and as we worked with the attorney that was working with them, kind of decided it would be a better way to go to have them do the transaction with the Friends of the Commission. And I know that that happened. We haven't heard any, we haven't gotten any money from that yet, but the word was that it was about $1,000 worth of stock that then, eventually would work its way into our trust fund and be able to be used for match.
$8,000, is that what you
yes.
said? Okay, that would be...
Yeah, so that's a good thing. And that's really all I know at this point.
I think they're having problems getting competent people, but when we had the old rehabilitation council, they had some pretty competent people on there that indicated they'd like to continue in that area, volunteer work, so forth. And I wonder if Mike's ever contacted any of those people to get them in.
I don't know whether he has, but that would really be a good thing to say to him. Because that, you're right, there were some very dynamic people with good connections in businesses and on elsewhere. That would be good.
Yeah, the more the budget thing happens and everything else, the more important that entity becomes. And, we certainly need to find ways of having it function and bring in money.
There's yes. money out there, we just have to find it. Mm-hmm. That's the whole.
Yeah.
Well, especially to the extent of that $32,000 on that number that, to get the match, I mean, that money, dollar comes in that door, produces four other dollars.
Yep. That's right. And we do have a liaison on the Friends. I attended the first series of meetings and then have assigned Carlos Servan to that. But for the most part, I really feel like the agency itself shouldn't be the really driving
that's
thing.
That's right.
So,
shouldn't be under the bylaws. They shouldn't. Mm-hmm.
Now, I'll occasionally, I know at the very beginning of it, I put together a whole list of possible resources and ideas for them, and as things come up, I'll send them that direction, but we've kind of on purpose not been real really trying to push that.
And membership, too. I know ECB has Jim Finn on there and Spiker.
Mm-hmm.
But Spiker's so busy now that with his law practice and being first vice president and so forth that he just doesn't have much time. So that's a real problem, finding time to do those things.
Yes. Yeah, there's some good people on there. It's it's just...
Need Indians and not just chiefs.
That's right.
That's right, yeah. And they didn't want to make it into a blind board. They figured when they formed, they had about half the people were blind, and they figured that was enough. They needed money of people with know how to get money.
That's right, and that's what it needs to have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it needs to have people who have connections and who have an interest in what the commission does, because we do really need to have those people who connect to the money.
That's right.
I mean, that's what that whole thing is about.
It is.
Mm-hmm. So I think that's on that.
Okay. The next item is the NIS update.
NIS is coming along pretty well as far as accessibility.
Did I unplug something?
It knocked it off, but I don't think it's unplugged.
Try to set it back up there.
The cord.
Yeah, the cord was in your way. Okay, hopefully that's out of the way now. Accessibility-wise, once they really started taking us seriously and began working with us in earnest, very good progress has been made with accessibility. There are a few things still kind of in the works, but they were really responsive, and so we're pretty well satisfied that the other bugs will be worked out. If there's anything that can't be worked out, it probably is the piece that has to do with the reports, which at present are PDF files. But, you know, I mean, I guess it seems to me like if that one part ends up not fully accessible electronically, it can be printed out and used with a reader, which is another way of accessing. It's not something that as you're working in the system and doing the, I mean, that you definitely need to be able to use the system. But we're still working on it, and I've had conversations with the people that are in charge of NIS, and Jonathan keeps working with them too. Now, are the PDF files with passwords, or are they just PDF files?
They're reports that the system generates. I don't think the report itself requires a password. The person who's generating the report will already have passworded themselves into the system at whatever level they have clearance to enter or get information.
You know, the reason that I ask that is that if it's a straight PDF file that you can just send through a translator, you know, there's more than one out there, and some of them respond in like a minute or two.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing. If it's the type of PDF file, which I haven't quite figured out what the deal is yet, but like what happens with my bank statement where, you know, you can send it to a translator, but it won't recognize it for whatever reason. It can't get into it for some reason or another, which I'm still trying to figure out. And one of these days, hopefully, I'll get that figured out, and then I can know how to do that too, perhaps. But I've discovered that there is a difference among PDF files. And I don't know yet what it is, but if it is just that straight translation thing, that really is, there's more than one translator out there that will send it back to you within just, like I said, a minute or two.
Now, Barbara, I used to tell people that, and then lately I've tried a couple and it isn't working, but I'm sending them to Adobe. So maybe, do you have a list? You say there are several translators.
The one I've had the best luck with is out of the University of Wisconsin.
If you could send me some information, I could disseminate it to people.
Yeah.
of any, and especially you said if there's several translators, if people had different ones and tried them, that would be very helpful.
What do they have to do to translate them?
I've used two of them, is all. I mean, I've used the Adobe one, and I've used the Wisconsin one. I had another one listed somewhere, and I'm not sure where it is, but since the others were working for the most part, and the one that didn't was because of, you know, some kind of password thing.
Mm-hmm. I used Adobe in the past, and it did work for me, but recently, nothing's coming back, and I've tried it. Jan has and Nancy Kaufman.
Bummer.
Yeah. What did you ask, Bob?
I said the translate. I mean, do they turn it back into a Word file or something?
They turn it into a text file.
Yeah.
Oh, a text file, so, ASCII type thing.
And the addresses are, you know, PDF and then the number 2, TXT. And then the one is at Adobe, adobe.com. And that one, you know, isn't as fast or hasn't been for me either as the one in Wisconsin, which is PDF 2, TXT at sun.com. Trace, T-R-A-C-E, dot W-I-S-C, dot E-D-U. It's a longer address, but it, and it will, if you accidentally send some text along with your PDF file, it'll say, sorry, this part didn't look like PDF to me or something. And once in a while, it'll even come back saying, this doesn't look like PDF, and then there it'll be, you know, there the text will be, which I couldn't read before, so I don't know why it says that, but I think it must be kind of an automated thing of some sort because it really does have a quick response.
Did on that one? Did you say S-U-N as in Nancy or M as in Mary?
N as in Nancy.
Thank you.
Do you have to register with them, or you just email them something?
No, just email something, and it comes back. And
okay, we'll try that one.
Well, could you shoot that address out?
They're still flying. Sure. They'll be back in Washington, so.
And I'm going to send it to everybody too. And if you find another one, let us know.
Yeah.
Yeah, any other options? So anyway, that's the one piece. Now, as far as NIST itself, aside from accessibility, which is, you know, a huge thing in and of itself that all the agencies are working with, we are now, the HR part is working. Payroll is done through the NIST system completely now. They've had a few little snags, but it's working out. The financials are supposed to go live March 1, but if everything, this week is the end of the last period that everything should be entered on the old system, which, by the way, is completely inaccessible. And on Saturday, every agency is required to have a staff person at a meeting where they'll go through any edit errors, go through the whole thing, to really make sure that everything is corrected immediately because of the month ending on Friday. And we've been assured by Tom Conroy, the head of NIST, that if it does not work properly, they will not go live with NIST on March 1. But they're pretty optimistic that it's going to work, but they're not going to just switch over just because they've arrived at a date and, you know, if there are still problems. Now, is there anything else new you've heard recently in meetings?
Not really.
Yeah,
no,
I think that's the
that's
latest.
Still a plan, yep.
So, now, I had heard that there were some classes or trainings or whatever that were going on, and that the online training that was available to sighted people didn't work for blind people, and so that was an inequity that I've heard about. Is there?
Yes. Yeah. Excuse me. I jumped in when.
That's okay.
Okay. Yeah, we are doing training for the staff of the commission and any other blind staff or staff of the state anywhere who use speech, JAWS. The training they had was all based on, what do they call it, images? I'm not thinking of the right words, but anyway, it wasn't accessible, and we figured that we needed to come up with specific training anyway. Now, we did already do phase one of that, which was advanced navigation of the internet, because that is a great deal of how NIST works. And so we held 3 days of sessions, I think. I can't tell you the number of people we had in those, but there were commission staff and what, about four people from other agencies, I'm thinking? Was it
four or five, something
okay.
like that, yeah.
No, Mary Sue was there.
Great, and we had, you know, good results from that. Did she mention if she thought it was?
Oh, she didn't think the first class was too helpful, but.
Okay, well, she may be more advanced than some people.
Yeah.
Okay. And then we have some other sessions planned, but actually we've been revising it a little bit because of how the implementation of NIST itself has changed. But we are trying to get around that self-training thing by doing the training and working with individuals.
So who's doing the training?
Jonathan Ross, Bill Brown, and then a couple of people from the NIST shop.
Yeah, I'm glad that it isn't all together in-house, because
yes.
I think that those people do need to have people within their system who
definitely
know what it is.
Right. Yes, and the training that's being done in Lincoln is at the NIST offices, and they've set up the computers with sound cards and so forth, which, I mean, even that was really learning. You would think these technical people would understand that just because the, you know, you get beeps and tones from your computer, thinking that means it has, that it's compatible with speech, is not exactly the whole picture. So, okay, we get sound cards, and so even that was a learning process. So I think having the training there was good.
I do too, not only because they learn, but because they're investing something in it.
Yes.
And if they do that, they'll be more likely to say, hey, you know, as we make differences in this thing, we're going to have to invest a lot less time and effort if we just do it along the way,
right,
rather than put ourselves in the position to need to, you know, take one step forward and two steps back or whatever.
That's right. So that's pretty much it.
So at the point at which it goes online, if it does on Saturday or whatever, are blind people within the staff caught up with what people can get with the self-training thing?
Okay, the self-training or the self-access, what's the self-support?
Self-service.
Actually won't be in operational for agency state staff until,
right.
Do we know a date yet?
No.
I didn't think
no.
so. And so that kind of is being held off for all staff. So, you know, and if, let's see, I don't remember something else specific about that.
The employee self-service was kind of the way we were going to base our original training. That'll be the second phase of the original training. The first phase, obviously, was working with the speech and gaining some advanced knowledge on how to access HTML documents using speech, and that was happened last week or a couple weeks ago. The second phase was to deal with employee self-service, because we felt like that was something that everyone would have a vested interest in, and so we wanted to again kind of get some buy some ownership into that, so that people could actually see what it is that that they will benefit from, you know, by using NIS. That implementation of employee self-serve has been delayed, and so that's why we have delayed the second phase of the training. The third phase is actually taking a look at what pieces of NIST themselves will be uniquely used by commission staff. And that was supposed to be the third piece. And we may move that up depending upon how they do with employee self-serve. At this point, that piece is still a little bit in flux, but that's the way that we kind of decided that this implementation would go.
Okay, now that third phase would be everybody, not just blind staff, but everybody on the commission staff?
Yes, that's correct.
So by then, theoretically, blind staff and sighted staff would have the same information and access available to them to go into the third phase if you do it. And how would that work if you skip the self-serve? Maybe the two don't connect.
Go ahead, Pearl.
What we're thinking now is what we had considered to be stage three is when we'll do the self-serve training. Mm-hmm. Isn't that right? And this phase three had more to do with the specific application of different people's jobs. And so, since we don't quite know yet how the whole thing's going to be implemented, we'll just plan that later as we get closer to knowing. And I don't mean we, the commission, but the state.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it looks like there's at least some amount of progress on that whole thing.
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm. Okay, the next item, is that it?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
Oh, that's all I had, sorry. Speaking for myself only.
Anybody else, anything? Okay, the next item is the Executive Director's Evaluation Questionnaire. And I want to thank you again, Bob, for doing that. Let's see, I had a couple of suggestions that I can't find. Let me see. Okay. The one that had to do with if there's a dispute with the public, mm-hmm. the director will back me up. I was wondering if that could maybe be if there is a dispute with the public, I trust the director to listen to all sides and make a reasoned decision.
Yeah, I mean, back up doesn't mean they might be wrong, and back up doesn't mean she's going to back them up regardless of the facts. Yeah, so whatever, that was my essence of that, I think the way you said it is or something like that is really what I was getting at.
Okay. And then the one that was number 12 was if I had a problem, I could go to the NCBVI board for help. Since we're talking about the evaluation of the director, I wonder if we wanted to say if I have a problem with the executive director.
Yeah, and that kind of goes to, you know, obviously many of the questions are directly related to the director, but also I thought also part of the purpose of this is to kind of take the pulse of the, you know, just the individuals. And I was kind of thinking as I thought about this, that this might be something that would want every staff person to, you know, to answer and provide their name, and it would be confidential just to the commissioners, and you know, we wouldn't really compile names and things who said this and that, but just meaning we'd want everybody to do it, and not if we made it anonymous, we'd have no idea who did it and who didn't do it, or if, you know, if we got 30 in, we would assume obviously most people didn't do it, and that this would just be a way to us to just, you know, stay in touch or give a kind of a outlet to the staff as to, you know, to us, a kind of forum to us, so we would kind of know what's on their mind and what they thought the, how they thought things were operating and what their sense of the commission was. So I guess some of those questions aren't precisely directed to the director, but you know, a few of those extra questions I think help us as commissioners know what's on the minds of people. And then even though we wouldn't maybe directly affect our review of Pearl, but then we could, you know, in talking to Pearl, we could say, well, you know, people are having problems and they're not able to, you know, finding good forums. And I think it would just help to our understanding of